Welcome to the Hirschfeld Century Podcast. I'm David Leopold, the Creative Director of the Al Hirschfeld Foundation.
And I'm Catherine Eastman, the Archives Manager.
And today we are talking about Neil Simon.
Yes. Recently passed away on August 26th. And so we are doing an entire show just dedicated to Neil Simon and his shows.
Because there are over 70 drawings related to Neil Simon plays and movies. Remarkable. Probably only Shakespeare probably has as many drawings. And I'm not even sure Shakespeare has as many drawings.
What about Tennessee Williams?
Tennessee Williams has about 50.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Shaw might have a number of them, but I actually think Neil Simon holds the record.
Interesting.
And we don't tend to think of, when we think of the great playwrights of the 20th century, we think of Eugene O'Neill, maybe we think of George Kaufman, Tennessee Williams. Right. But really, in the second half of the 20th century, Neil Simon dominated to a degree that is would be unheard of today. He even had, in 1966, he had four hit shows on Broadway simultaneously. That was Barefoot in the Park, Sweet Charity, The Star-Spangled Girl, and The Odd Couple.
That's right.
So, I mean, one musical and three plays, two of which are still done today, have been revived on Broadway relatively recently, are still done in regional theaters. His plays have an incredible quality to make people laugh. Let's start at the beginning. Talk about who Neil Simon was and how, when and how he intersected with Al Hirschfeld.
Sure, I can give you all kinds of facts on this, David. This is my specialty, Wikipedia. he was born July 4th, 1927, just as Hirschfeld was starting his caricature career.
Correct.
He had a somewhat sad childhood, grew up in during the Depression, and so he sought refuge in movie theaters. He liked all the comedies like Laurel and Hardy, Buster Keaton, Charlie Chaplin.
He would have seen Hirschfeld's work in the posters as he walked
That's
into the
right.
theater.
Oh, good point, David.
He grew up in New York, so he would have also seen all of the Hirschfeld drawings in the newspapers.
He eventually would write for radio and television.
Oh, yeah. He wrote, I think his big break was with somebody you think the world of.
Oh, yeah. Robert Q. Lewis, the Robert Q. Lewis radio show. And then he also worked on the Phil Silvers show in the second half of the 50s.
But he was really part of the great writer's room for Sid Caesar's
show. Yes, that was in 1950.
Well, that writer's room was incredible because it had really some of the great writers of the period. It had Woody Allen. It had Mel Brooks. It had Larry Gelbart. And, of course, Neil Simon.
Right.
Neil Simon was very anxious to get out of the television grind.
He didn't like it.
Well, he had higher aspirations. His first show was called Come Blow Your Horn.
Right.
In 1961. Actually debuted at the Bucks County
That's
Playhouse.
That's right. I do know that fact.
And he rewrote it maybe 15 times.
Wow.
He did not know if it would ever get anywhere. But it did, after it played at the Bucks County Playhouse, it came to Broadway. It was a hit.
Yeah.
And so immediately he started writing his next show. His next show, he wrote the book to a musical by Cy Coleman and Carolyn Lee called Little Me.
Oh, yes.
Which happened to actually star Sid Caesar, playing a wide variety of roles. This was a great show for Hirschfeld to draw because he loved characters, and Sid Caesar was a character all by himself, but he enjoyed playing all these different characters, and this show gave him the opportunity to play six or seven different characters. And so Hirschfeld's drawing has Sid Caesar in six different guises, along with the female lead, Nancy Andrews. But it's a wonderful drawing, and one that he would sort of revisit nearly 30 years later.
Yeah, there are several drawings of Little Me, because it was revived in the 80s.
Yeah, with your good friend, Victor Garber.
Yep, my other friend, Victor Garber. That is actually a really nice drawing, and we've actually talked about that drawing before as kind of a non-personality drawing that could be used, you know, just to kind of signify theater or musical theater.
Definitely.
And it's one of those because you really don't see his face, but it's a, you know, it's kind of a jazzy
He's got the striped jacket and the straw hat boater and the cane. And
it's a nice little drawing. And it doesn't necessarily have, it's not necessarily of Victor Garber or of Little Me. It kind of transcends
that. No offense, Victor.
No, no. Of course not. Never.
But when the show was done in 98 with Martin Short, Hirschfeld did a very similar take on the show, except Martin Short, who was another great character, sort of character actor, playing all these different characters, except his female foil this time was the great Faith Prince. Well, his next show was Barefoot in the Park.
Ah, now this is, I do know about Barefoot in the Park.
And we could talk all day about Barefoot in the Park. It's an interesting show. It also premiered at the Bucks County Playhouse.
I was going to say that,
It starred Robert Redford and Elizabeth Ashley.
That's right.
Kirk Kasner. And it became one of the longest running plays on Broadway. It ran for 4 years.
Wow.
So the only time Barefoot in the Park, he drew Barefoot in the Park, was in a thematic drawing that was called Broadway a la Carte, from Soup to Nietzsche, and which is actually from Barefoot in the Park. It's this, it's salted eel and grape.
That's gross.
And olives. And yes, it's a delicacy, a Japanese delicacy.
Mm-hmm. I believe you.
And Kirk Kasner serves it to Elizabeth Ashley in the play. And Hirschfeld has that little scene in amongst all these other scenes from different shows on Broadway at that time. He had done a What's Cooking on Broadway drawing 7 years earlier.
Right.
And it just, I think it amused him to see all this food being cooked on stage.
Yeah, that's funny.
But he would never do another drawing, even though there was a very successful film of it with Jane Fonda and Robert Redford. Right. I mean, it was really the making of Robert Redford. But strangely, Hirschfeld missed all of Redford's
Sometimes
stage.
Sometimes that happens.
It's Redford's loss. It wasn't Hirschfeld's. So that was the start where it seemed like, and in fact it really was, almost every season there was a new Neil Simon play or a libretto to a musical. In 1965, he writes one of his all-time classics, which is The Odd Couple.
Right. This has been drawn several times in many different iterations by Hirschfeld.
Oh, definitely. He drew the original stage production with Art Carney and Walter Matthau. Mm. And this was really helped to make Walter Matthau. Walter Matthau would one time say to Nathan Lane that if it weren't for Neil Simon, he would have been a character actor in regional theater. But it was Neil Simon who really elevated him. Mm-hmm. Now, I think that was Matthau being very humble, because I think he really was a fantastic actor and he for would have shown through. But it gives you some idea of how the actors felt saying Neil Simon's lines. And in fact, Matthau would go on to star in the film adaptation, also written by Neil Simon. And the film starred, instead of Art Carney, it starred Jack Lemmon.
Right.
You know, and those two were quickly becoming a comedy pair.
He also does an unlikely casting of The Odd Couple.
Which is a sure sign that a show has reached critical mass and everybody knows
it. Right, because you have to be able to get the joke of why these people are unlikely in those roles. And who does he put? Peter Ustinov and Boris Karloff?
Yeah.
I assume, what's the joke there?
Well, they were both, neither one of them was an Oscar Madison sort of sports writer. You wouldn't he has Peter Ustinov as this sort of grubby sports writer, and Peter Ustinov was
not a grubby,
very
sports
classy.
Writer. Gotcha.
And
gotcha.
He has Boris Karloff in the Felix Unger role, and that maybe I could sort of see, but I think he was really playing on Boris Karloff, the sort of character from Arsenic and Old Lace, sort of the very creepy person.
Yeah, was he ever Frankenstein?
Boris Karloff was Frankenstein.
Okay. Well, don't look at me like that. I was making sure. Please remember my age, David. This was way before my time.
Oh my God, it's a classic. I thought everybody knows that.
Nope.
You didn't study it in school?
Absolutely not.
Did you not ever pay attention at Halloween?
No, I'm not a Halloween person. My husband's a Halloween person. He would probably know that.
Yes, I guarantee you.
I am not a Halloween person.
Most people, when asked about Boris Karloff, the first thing they'll say is Frankenstein.
So I was there for it. I got that right. Mark it down.
Anyway, so it like we said, it really shows the cultural currency of a show if Hirschfeld can parody it in the unlikely casting series.
Right.
Which was seen by, of course, all theatergoers in that particular month that it appeared.
Right.
But when they made the film version, Hirschfeld not only drew the film for Warner Brothers, and he did a great drawing of Lemon and Matthau in the roles, but he also drew the fellow card players. There's a great poker night scene, and he drew a number of the different card players, Larry Haynes and John Fiedler, David Shiner, and then he also drew the Pigeon Sisters, Monica Evans and Carol Shelley. And he would then draw the film for the New York Times.
Oh.
When Hirschfeld drew The Odd Couple for the New York Times, the film, he drew it almost identical to the stage drawing that he had done. And instead of Art Carney as Felix Unger, it showed Jack Lemmon. The drawing he did for Warner Brothers of the two of them is different. They're on an angle.
Yeah.
It's sort of much more, could fit in a lot of places. Probably it was meant to be a one-column drawing or a two-column drawing, whereas Hirschfeld's drawing for the Times was meant to be more horizontal.
Gotcha.
Now, right after that, of course, so he would draw The Odd Couple both on stage and screen, and then in the mid-1980s, Neil Simon brought it back to Broadway, except this time he changed the gender. It was the all-female Odd Couple.
Was it still called The Odd Couple?
Oh, yes.
It was the same show. It was just recast.
With Sally Struthers and Rita Moreno.
Interesting.
And the drawing he did for that is not like his other drawings.
No, for sure.
So Sally Struthers plays the Oscar Madison character. Rita Moreno plays the Felix Unger character. And the drawing shows them overcooking, I guess, a turkey of some sort. He would do two Great Friday drawings for this production as well, of Sally Struthers, who looks downright scary in her Friday drawing. But I think Rita Moreno's Friday drawing is as close to a perfect portrait of her as anything.
Interesting. Yeah, it's very pretty.
Very pretty. Sort of captures her sort of style
and
panache. I mean, it's one of the great Friday drawings.
Right.
He does, the following year after Odd Couple on Broadway, he writes the book to a musical, a Bob Fosse musical called Sweet Charity. And that becomes a big hit.
Yes, there's
starring the great Gwen Verdon.
Yep.
He would do drawings, Friday drawings of performers in a revival in 1982, including B.B. Newworth and Anne Reiking, who would eventually get together and star in something you may have heard of called Chicago. And those were the only Broadway revivals of that show. Oh, well, that's not true. There was a Broadway revival in the Al Hirschfeld Theater after Al Hirschfeld was gone. And no, he did not draw it.
Right, not that production.
The other musical he did in the 60s was Promises, Promises with Jerry Orbach and friend of the foundation, Jill O'Hara.
Right.
And that was actually used recently when the Transport Group did a one-night sort of concert performances of Promises, Promises.
Right.
He also drew the film version of Sweet Charity. Now that I think of it, he drew Shirley MacLaine in the role.
And that was for the studio. Version.
Yeah, the film.
Oh, interesting. That's a very iconic drawing.
Hirschfeld liked it enough that he hung it in his on the third floor of his house. He passed it every day going up to his studio. But then we get into the 70s, and if Neil Simon dominated the 60s, in the 70s he owned it. Right off the bat, there are his first film that he wrote for the screen, The Out-of-Towners, with Jack Lemmon and Sandy Dennis, about two people from the Midwest who come to New York and everything goes wrong. And New York at this time, especially in Neil Simon's work, but in a lot of people's work, New York represents urban decay.
Yeah. Well, it was pretty scary in real life in the 70s.
Without a doubt. without a doubt. There was this nostalgia for the past. It started appearing on Broadway in lots of different ways in Nonnette.
Annie.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. For a lot of people, New York in the 70s was this scary place, and bad things seemed to happen, you know. And so the out-of-towners captured that, all of that, and that was in 1970.
Mm. Right at the beginning of the decade. We also have Prisoner of Second Ave in the 70s.
Another one about New York as sort of a prison in which you, it was hard to escape. The stage production starred Peter Falk and Lee Grant. And he has them very claustrophobically in an apartment where you can see the brick wall of the apartment house next door. When it was made into a film, they got Jack Lemmon to play the Peter Falk role.
Jack Lemmon likes Neil Simon.
Oh, yes. Walter Matthau and Jack Lemmon were regular performers in Neil Simon films.
Because they're funny.
Oh, funny. And they captured the character. I mean, Neil Simon was the king of the one-liner, and he had a certain, I think we would see it now today as sort of a Jewish neuroses.
A Woody Allen?
Sort of like Woody Allen.
I mean, when I think of Jewish neuroses, that's all I think about is Woody Allen. So is there someone else I should
know about? Well, he was more... Woody is the intellectual version of that, to some extent, the comic Jewish neuroses, while Neil Simon is like your suburban...
The everyday man.
The everyman. He was someone that spoke to everybody. If you were out in Peoria and you had some aspirations for maybe more than that, or culture or whatnot, Neil Simon was speaking to you. And Simon at this time writes a number of plays that are not at the beginning of the 70s. He writes a series of plays that I think were his bid to try to become a serious, to be accepted critically, because at this time everyone acknowledges that he's a great hit maker.
Right, but critics, it's mostly comedies. Right. Up until this point.
And critics don't value comedies. Certainly, they didn't value comedies then.
Right.
As important theater.
Right, right.
You know, but I think this goes back to George Kaufman, for instance. You know, Kaufman, besides O'Neill, Kaufman is probably the only playwright who gets regularly revived from the 20s and 30s.
Interesting.
And the reason he does is because he mined this human vein, this human nature. And while the clothes may change and the names may change, people remain the same. And I think that's what Neil Simon was so good at, was sort of plumbing the human condition and finding the humor in it. But because it made people laugh, because it was popular, the critical consensus was that he was not a serious playwright.
Right.
I think something like that, and Hirschfeld may have understood that in a certain way, because he was creating these wonderful works of art, and everyone said, oh, it's caricature, it's in the newspaper, it can't be great art.
Right, and still today, where people still view it as caricature, more people are viewing it as art, as they should, but I think there is still that stigma, I guess. And it's line drawing, it's just caricature.
Right.
Or it's just theater. It's just, it's just celebrities.
Just celebrities.
Right.
But of course, we're finding today that people are seeing beyond who he draw, and they're much closer to how he drew it.
Right.
You've heard me say a number of times is that I think young viewers, anybody under the age of 35 today, looking at Hirschfeld's work, I think sees the work closer to how Al saw it than people of the time, because they're not caught up in the subject matter of the drawings as much as they are interested in the drawing itself.
For sure.
So, in the early 70s, Neil Simon does try to, he does a variation of a Chekhov called The Good Doctor, which has a wonderful drawing of Christopher Plummer and René
Auberjonois, another one of my boys.
Yeah, so they're all there. And he does The Last of the Red Hot Lovers, which is an interesting drawing, whereas most of the drawings up to this point of Neil Simon plays are pretty traditional.
Right.
The Last of the Red Hot Lovers, which is about a man and the women in his life, shows James Coco with women literally crawling all around his head.
Right.
You know, it's a wonderful take on the show. Mm-hmm. Although the show itself was not a huge hit. Mm. He really regains his form again in 1971 when he writes a show called Plaza Suite. There are three sort of standalone vignettes about different people staying at the Plaza Hotel. Oh, there's some intermingling, but they're sort of. And he would revisit that again in, he would do a film called California Suite that Hirschfeld drew and it starred, you know, sort of all the big stars of the period. Well, it was originally it was a stage production with George Grizzard and Tammy Grimes, but when it was made into a film, it starred Alan Alda and Jane Fonda, dare we speak his name, Bill Cosby, Richard Pryor.
Michael Caine.
Yes, Michael Caine, definitely. Maggie Smith. And of course, all these performers wanted to be in a Neil Simon picture because that was the closest thing you could get to a sure thing. But he would revisit the idea of these interconnected stories that were standalones but that had some overlap in he would eventually do, as I said, California Suite. And then eventually one of his last shows was off-Broadway. It was called London Suite, and it took place in a London hotel, not drawn by Hirschfeld.
Of course, we can't forget the Sunshine Boys.
No, another great one. So this is 1975, or 1972, I'm sorry. The film version was 1975. Yes. The play was 1972. It starred Sam Levine and Jack Albertson about these two old vaudeville performers who sort of can't get away from each other.
The classic story.
It's a classic story. It was adapted for film, and it starred Walter Matthau and George Burns. And that is pretty much a cast made in Hirschfeld heaven.
Yeah. Sounds like it.
And Hirschfeld did the poster for that film, as well as black and white drawings that were used to promote the film.
Yep.
And then he would do it again near the end of his career. He did it, you know, and this is really some self-referential situation. In 1997, Tony Randall had called the National Actors Theater. He was trying to create a national repertory theater of the classics. He worked very hard at it and was completely unsuccessful, as were everybody else who tried to do that. But in order to try to get an audience for this theater, he put on the Sunshine Boys, and he asked his good friend Jack Klugman. Now, Tony Randall and Jack Klugman were the stars of the TV adaptation of The Odd Couple, a long-running TV series that was extremely popular and that Neil Simon had nothing to do with.
Oh, interesting.
But the two of them together in a Neil Simon play was sort of box office catnip.
Gotcha.
And Hirschfeld did a drawing of the two of them, you know, sort of shuffling along.
Yeah, again, a very sweet drawing.
Doesn't necessarily have
to be of those two, which it clearly is, but can also be, it stands on its own 2 feet, or 4 feet, as they have.
He writes another film in 1977 called The Goodbye Girl.
Yes.
And this has a real Hirschfeld connection because in addition to Hirschfeld doing a drawing to promote the film, that it starred Richard Dreyfuss, Marsha Mason, and the drawing features a very young woman by the name of Quinn Cummings in the drawing. In the film, which is about a actor who rents out his apartment to an actress, the set decorator decided what would an actor have on his wall. He would have a poster for a Hirschfeld exhibition.
Oh.
And so in the background of the film, you see Richard Dreyfuss and Marsha Mason arguing, because in a Neil Simon play, they're always arguing about something. You see them arguing literally in front of this in this collection of Hirschfeld drawings on this poster. He writes another movie right before The Goodbye Girl that I always loved. It's called Murder by Death. And it is a parody of all the great film detectives.
Yes, I see Capote.
Capote's in there. David Niven is in there. Peter Falk. It's an incredible collection. And they're all playing different characters. I mean, they're not called their actual names, but it's obvious there's a
Is there a Sherlock?
There's a Charlie Chan character. There's a Alec Guinness is in the drawing, Estelle Winwood, Maggie Smith, Nancy Walker. There's a Hercule Poirot character, David Niven playing a very suave and sophisticated detective. And he has them gathered to solve this mystery.
Yeah.
And it's completely ridiculous.
I'm sure.
And very funny. And sort of classic Neil Simon. You know, they're just, the whole movie, they're all spouting these one-liners that often have to do with their character or the fact that they haven't been killed yet. Or it's a funny film.
I'll take your word for it.
And Hirschfeld did a drawing of it to promote the film.
Gotcha.
Well, Chapter 2 was really... it was a serious play. It was a comedy, but it had a serious undertone. And it had to do with the fact of someone starting over. Neil Simon's wife had died of cancer. And he, on the rebound, had remarried an actress by the name of Marsha Mason. And Mason actually did not star in the stage version of Chapter 2. That was Judd Hirsch and Anita Gillette. But when the Sunday before the show opened, Hirschfeld did two drawings that appeared on the front page of the New York Times Arts and Leisure section. One featured Judd Hirsch and Anita Gillette sitting together, and then there was sort of a mirror image of Neil Simon and Marsha Mason sitting together.
Right.
And this was really, in a way, it was the sort of the start of a new chapter in Simon's career.
And what was that new chapter?
Well, he was getting, he had been writing now for more than 15 years. His shows had been phenomenal successes. And now he had written a play about someone starting over in their relationship. And it was very contemporary. And, you know, while it was funny, it would also sort of plumbed the depth of what people were going through at that time. And I think there was a certain bit of respect given to Neil Simon at that time, that he really was becoming a great playwright and that people there was more appreciation for his work. He was, of course, nominated for more Tonys than I think almost anybody.
And than any writer.
Well,
he was the what I heard is he was nominated for more combined Oscars and Tonys than any other writer. I did not do the research to take that apart and see if he received more Tony nominations than any other writer.
Well, his shows and the actors in them.
He won 3 Tonys.
Yes.
I know. And I think he was nominated like 17 times.
Right.
Or something like that.
Well, he himself, but also the people in his shows. I think there's about 50 Tony nominations.
Yeah. No, I'm just counting him as a writer.
Yeah. He would go on to do the film Hirschfeld would draw the film adaptation of Chapter 2, and that did star Marsha Mason and James Caan. I don't think really one of the great film adaptations of Simon's work, but an interesting drawing. Sort of the two of them on a telephone, and Marsha Mason is in bed, and James Caan's talking to her. And then he then follows this up with They're Playing Our Song.
Right.
Which starred Lucy Arnaz and Robert Klein, the comedian Robert Klein.
And this is Desi and Lucy's daughter.
Correct. And it's a musical. It had music by Marvin Hamlisch. And that's something that I think, just to take a moment, for a comic playwright, he's a man who worked with Bob Fosse, Cy Coleman, Marvin Hamlisch, Michael Bennett. I mean, some of the biggest names in musical theater during his career. And he not only worked with them, he made hits for them. You know, together they made a series of wonderful hits. His early shows were directed by Mike Nichols. These were Mike Nichols' first directing job was directing Come Blow Your Horn at the Bucks County Playhouse. And he would take it to Broadway. He directed Barefoot in the Park.
Right.
I mean, Mike Nichols was a comedian who was transferring into the next stage of his career. And Neil Simon helped him do that. And indeed, Mike Nichols, I think Mike Nichols helped Neil Simon and Neil Simon helped Mike Nichols.
At the same time.
But the interesting thing is Lawrence Luckinbill went into Chapter 2. He would end up playing the male lead. And Lucy Arnaz was playing, and they're playing our song. And they start going out. And they decide to get married. And since they were both in Neil Simon plays, they named their first child Simon.
Oh, that's sweet.
Neil Simon's next show on Broadway was I Ought to Be in Pictures.
Yes.
With Ron Liebman. And he did a Sunday drawing for that, as well as a couple of individual Friday drawings.
Right.
He followed that up the same year. And this is to give you some idea. I mean, we don't expect our writers today to have a new show on Broadway and a new film in the theater on a regular basis. Yet that's what Neil Simon was doing in the 60s, 70s, 80s. And so in 1980, he had a brand new comedy on Broadway, another one that was still running. And he wrote a film called Seems Like Old Times with Goldie Hawn and Chevy Chase and Charles Grodin.
Yep. And this one features the rare Hirschfeld animal. It's got three dogs in it.
Three dog night, huh?
Yep. And it looks like three. There might be four. Oh, wait. One, two, three, four, five. Excuse me.
There are a few and what ones. Kind of dogs are there?
Well, looks like there's a St. Bernard, some sort of hound, two Yorkies, and a little mutt with long hair. That's
our
final.
Resident dog expert.
That's right. So in 1983, the Alvin Theater was renamed the Neil Simon Theater. And this was during the run of his new show, Brighton Beach Memoirs, which was playing at the Alvin at the time. And then during the show, it was changed names into the Neil Simon Theater, which is still going today.
And was that common? Did playwrights get theaters named
for
them?
So he was, at the time, he was the only living playwright to have a Broadway theater named after him.
And he's only one of a handful now.
Right, right.
I mean, there's the Sondheim, the O'Neill, the Richard Rodgers.
That's right.
The Brooks Atkinson.
Oh, true. But was he a writer? Well, he was a writer, but was he a playwriter?
He was not a playwright. He wrote about plays.
Yes, that's close. I put Brooks out. He's a critic.
Right.
So I put him in with Hirschfeld, who was not a critic, but was also not a playwright.
Right. Well, Hirschfeld one time was a playwright, but it didn't turn out so
well.
That's
right. I think he'd rather say he was not a playwright.
Yes.
I much appreciate that. So there's not a lot. And he was the only living playwright to have a theater named after him.
And Brighton Beach Memoirs was the start of a trilogy of plays that focused on Neil Simon's life before he became a writer. So these autobiographical plays, and they were lightly fictionalized, obviously.
Sure.
Starred an actor who would really become very well known, and because of these plays, in part, Matthew Broderick.
Mm-hmm.
And he, of course, grew up wanting to see Neil Simon plays and loved Neil Simon plays. And the idea that he was just reading for a Neil Simon play was a big deal. Mm. And when he got it, he became Neil Simon, literally. I mean, that's who he was in the plays, although he was given a different name. And those plays got Neil Simon a degree of respect that had eluded him up until that point.
So what were the other ones? Biloxi Blues?
Biloxi Blues, about Simon's life in the Army.
Right.
And then Broadway Bound.
Gotcha.
Which starred, had a very a large cast about Neil Simon breaking into the theater, or wanting to break into the theater. Phyllis Newman was in the original, or Linda Lavin, I'm sorry. Phyllis Newman, Linda Lavin, Jason Alexander were all in Broadway Bound. Mm. Eventually, Joan Rivers would come in. He did Friday drawings of Joan River, Phyllis Newman, Jonathan Silverman, who would go on to have his own career, all were featured in Friday drawings of Broadway Bound.
Mm. So just a few more facts about the Neil Simon Theater. The record at that theater is for Hairspray. So it ran the longest. Yep.
Drawn by Hirschfeld.
Yep. 2,642 performances, which was about 6.5 years. And then also there that you might have seen, Catch Me If You Can premiered there.
Not drawn by Hirschfeld.
No. No. These were not drawn by Hirschfeld because these are post-Hairspray. Big Fish, which I saw at the Neil Simon Theater. The revival of Cats that was recently done. The revival. Sure. The revival of Angels in America. And right now it's the Cher Show that's playing there.
Oh, the Cher Show.
That's fun to say. The Cher Show. It's like Cher Show.
We could almost do a whole show on the Cher Show.
The Cher Show.
So we won't go through every show that he did because, surprisingly, he's still very active in the 90s, although he doesn't... He starts off the decade with really maybe one of his last great shows, which is Lost in Yonkers, which not only won him a Tony, but won him a Pulitzer.
Interesting.
Again, a semi-autobiographical play about his life growing up. But Hirschfeld had drawn Lost in Yonkers. He Rumors right before that, Jake's Women after that. But none, besides Lost in Yonkers, neither one of those other plays really caught fire.
Yeah.
And in fact, there was a sort of law of diminishing returns at this point for Neil Simon. He would continue to produce some, I think, fairly well-made shows. They just didn't, the audience had moved on.
Right.
So there was Laughter on the 23rd Floor about his life as a TV writer. Nathan Lane starred as the Sid Caesar character.
That's fun.
There was the stage adaptation, musical adaptation of The Goodbye Girl with Bernadette Peters, which just did not capture the zeitgeist in any way.
Right.
And then the last, there were two shows at the very end of Hirschfeld's career, and alas, what turned out to be the end of Neil Simon's active career. One was The Dinner Party. That was sort of a play. It was a comedy, but it was a much darker comedy starring John Ritter and Henry Winkler.
I love Henry Winkler.
The last Neil Simon show that Hirschfeld drew, and this is a new Neil Simon show, is 45 Seconds from Broadway in November of 2001.
Wow.
And this play took place in the restaurant of the Edison Hotel, and which is right there in Times Square, sometimes called the Polish Tea Room. And
I know about the Russian tea room, but I've never heard of the Polish tea room.
Yeah, well, it wasn't called the Polish tea room, and it was kind of a joke. But it was a place that you could get a cheap meal, and a lot of Broadway people hung out there.
I was going to say, is it like the cheap Russian tea room?
Yes.
So I was not far off. No offense to any Polish listeners.
And it's a, for Hirschfeld, it's, you know, it's interesting. It's a very complicated drawing. There's a lot of people in the drawing. It was a very large cast. And it just seemed like there wasn't that sort of simple through line that would make a great Hirschfeld drawing, or it turns out a great Neil Simon play, because it didn't run long.
Yeah, yeah.
I think Neil Simon plays a very important role in our culture. His plays, I think a handful of them will still be done 50 years from now.
Sure.
You know, Odd Couple, Barefoot in the Park. Those are shows that I think will continue to attract an audience because they really capture human nature.
Yes, and they're not specific to one time period.
Right.
You can always have two mismatched roommates or newlyweds who are working through newlywed problems.
Right.
It's not, they're not married to those, that time period. And so you can redo them and they're always relevant.
Sure. And there have been revivals of both of them. And they're in fact talking about another Odd Couple revival on Broadway now.
Oh, fun.
You know, which would be great. Yeah. And if you get a chance to see a Neil Simon play, I encourage you to do it. We saw Chapter 2 not too long ago. And I was surprised at how good it was. And I think there's, and if you get a chance to see the films, I would definitely see, well, The Odd Couple movies is really wonderful. Barefoot in the Park is really quite a wonderful film. Murder by Death is just funny. And California Suite will give you a very good idea of those kind of plays that he did. He also wrote, I mean, The Out-of-Towners is also a really funny film. It seems much more dated now.
Sure,
You know, this fear
because
of New York.
Because that is kind of, so that one is kind of New York in the 70s, right?
Definitely.
That's kind of the plot.
Yeah.
So would be less relevant today, although I'm sure you can still enjoy it.
Right.
There's plenty of films and plays that are set to one time period, and we still love them.
Sure.
Right.
Gone with the Wind.
Oh, don't get me started.
Well, listen, thank you for listening today. We also wanted to tell you about just last night over at New York City Center on 55th Street between 6th and 7th. They opened their 75th anniversary season. Mm-hmm. And why am I telling you this is because in their lobby is a gallery in which all season will feature an exhibition of Hirschfeld drawings and prints of productions that have happened at City Center.
Right. And we'll have the New York Public Library Performing Arts will have basically the same thing. Different drawings, different shows.
They're also doing another exhibition on the anniversary of City Center, and that will also have a gallery of Hirschfeld drawings.
Right.
It turns out Hirschfeld drew about more than 50 productions at City Center over the years. We'll devote a podcast to that in the near future. But if you are hungry to see some original Hirschfeld drawings, head on over to City Center. If you go in the first 2 weeks of October, there is a great thing called the Fall for Dance Festival, in which they bring in dance companies from around the country and around the world to perform. And every seat is $15. So it is, I mean, cheaper almost as much as a movie ticket. And
it's cheaper than going out to dinner.
Oh, it's cheaper than going out to dinner.
Not the case.
Right, exactly. You're going to see first-class dance for very little money, which is the heart of what City Center was established for, the best entertainment at the lowest prices.
Right.
So if you get a chance to go see the Fall for Dance Festival at City Center, you'll be doing yourself a favor. And as an extra added bonus, you will get to see 13 Hirschfeld drawings and prints.
Yeah, these are original drawings. So there are some reproductions, but mostly they're real drawings, the board he drew on, which is so much different than seeing
anything
a print
else
or seeing a reproduction of it. So,
well, if you like what you've heard today, you can learn more about Al Hirschfeld by going to our website, alhirschfeldfoundation.org.
That's right.
You can look up any performer, production, period, publication.
We are at Al Hirschfeld Foundation on Facebook and at Al Hirschfeld on Twitter and Instagram. This podcast is at alhirschfeldfoundation.org/podcasts. S is for Simon. That was an easy one. please review us. Did you say that, David?
No.
Okay.
If you review us, it really helps because other people find out about us.
That's
and we'd like to expand our listenership from 12 to 13.
That's right. We want to. Our theme music is performed by Dick Hyman. It's called Three or More Ninas. You can find more about Dick Hyman at dickhyman.com.
Correct. If you have something you want to tell us, correction, advice, ideas for future
shows. These are just corrections
shows
for things David has said.
She keeps her mouth shut on a lot of things. I can't, you know. Can't correct it. If your views on Robert Q. Lewis, you can send directly to Catherine.
I'd love to hear them.
You can reach us both at info@alhirschfeldfoundation.org.
That's right. Unfortunately, we will both see it. and we look forward to seeing you in another 2 weeks.
Yeah, we'll see you when we do.
Bye.
Bye-bye.